being stoked by the Tea Party, among others. Actually, the Tea Party's in town, you know, right now, which is interesting in and of itself. But anyway, that's over with. And so, Tim Wise on Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the First Church in Boston. This is a fundraising event with all proceeds to benefit Community Change, Inc. There is a suggested contribution. For more information, visit communitychangeinc.org. A screening of the film Secret of the Dawn, about female genital mutilation and efforts to stop it in the country of Mali in Africa, takes place tomorrow from 4 to 6:30 p.m. at Harvard's Emerson Hall, 25 Quincy Street in Cambridge. This documentary shows current attitudes of people in Mali toward female genital mutilation and Malians struggling to end it. The film screening will be followed by a panel discussion. Dancer and health educator Wyoma will perform a dance of hope. And the program will end with a music video that is shown on Malian TV featuring 17 former excisers. This event is co-sponsored by Healthy Tomorrow and the Harvard Extension International Relations Club. That's tomorrow starting at 4 p.m. until 6:30. For more information, call 617-776-6524. And a few program notes before we go. This Sunday morning on Radio with a View here on WMBR, Mark Stern will be interviewing Professor Michael Zweig of the Center for Working Class Studies. He'll speak about recent labor issues, the effect of budget cuts on working people, and many other issues. Professor Zweig is a really interesting speaker. I've heard him speak before. And I think an old friend of Professor Mark Stern, and I think they're going to have a good time. Interview starts at 10:30, but the show starts at 10, and you don't want to miss any of that now, do you? Right here on Sunday morning on WMBR. And next Tuesday morning between 7 and 8 a.m. on the program Thickly Settled, a radio program about civilization and citizenship, a conversation with Michael Caine, executive director of the Jamaica Plain-based National Alliance of HUD Tenants. Michael Caine will talk about Republican efforts to obliterate the social safety net and the Obama administration's disappointing concessions to the right wing. He will speak with our own David Goodman live in the studio next Tuesday morning, right here on WMBR in Cambridge, 88.1 FM, and on the web at WMBR.org. And if you can't get up before 8 a.m., you can listen to it on our archives. It is now 7 p.m. You're listening to WMBR. And thank you. I'm saying the same thing. Of course, now we'll have Dead Air, or we'll have Music for Human Beings. Coming up in approximately 44 seconds, please stay tuned. The views and opinions expressed on this program have been those of the participants and not necessarily the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT. Thank you for being part of what's left. Good night.
Is jazz as a changing form dead? Or does it continue to be a dynamic and evolving music as it moves through the 21st century? I'm Fred Allen, and on Sound Principles, you'll hear avant-garde jazz, free jazz, and creative improvised music that will answer these questions and more. That's Sound Principles every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 88.1 FM, WMBR, Cambridge.
مرحبا في ميوزك فور هيومن. I am الدكتور جالس السكران and I welcome you. We are sitting here, our lips extended, our tongues waggling, preparing to emit sounds, to join with you. And now, in this moment of silence, a caller, before even the number has been declared. Let's bring this caller on. How aggressive. Caller, marhaban.
Marhaban.
Welcome, caller.
Hello?
Welcome, caller. Marhaban.
Hi. I have a question. I don't know if it would help with a potion take, but I've got a diet question.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Yes. I eat pizza alone by myself, and I had a vision the last time I ate it. I don't know if I've eaten my last pizza. It was like of a monster on the pizza, monster looking back at me. And I don't know if it was the particular brand of pizza or I should cleanse my system with a fast or some sort of potion.
Well, let us welcome our potions master, Erno. Perhaps he can shed some light on this demonic food.
And thank you for your welcome, Doctor. I must say that this is a very, very strange occurrence. You say, just to get this straight, that when you eat the pizza, you get these visions of monsters.
I got a vision of a pizza monster
once.
Like looking back at me.
Like a monster, yeah. With a pizza. Or like a monster that is made out of a pizza.
The monster seems to have been emanating from it. Like it wasn't made of all pizza, but it was like the glistening of the oils, the vegetables on it.
Indeed.
Maybe formed the shape in my mind.
So the vegetables on the pizza.
It was vegetable pizza. Yes.
So it's like the mushrooms and the broccoli.
Nice.
And the mango.
No mango. The mango. No. I can't help think if I keep eating this pizza, if I will die and few more my loss. I perhaps a fasting, would that cleanse spirit and body?
I'm not quite sure that the vision is being interpreted correctly, but.
Caller, perhaps you could share with us the circumstances before the vision appeared to you. Because, I actually have had a very similar vision recently.
Yes?
Well, so, very recently, I had a vision that I was eating a sandwich. And as I was consuming it, I turned away, I was distracted, and I turned back, and there was a man standing where the sandwich was. My sandwich was gone, and I said to the man, I said, "Have you eaten my sandwich?" And the man said, "No, Dr. Jalis, I am your sandwich." And I ate him very, very quickly. Let's bring another voice in to join this. Again, if anyone would like to call, it's 617-253-8810. Caller 2, marhaban.
Namaste.
What welcome caller?
Hello, yes, I was listening to the other caller and hearing your conversation.
Mm.
He was talking about a pizza monster.
Yeah, he's still there. He's still with us.
He's still with you. I was thinking, you know, when he brought up the pizza monster, that how sometimes the foods that we eat can be working against us and become monsters in our lives. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, I think to answer this question, we should bring in Zorro, the numerologist. Zorro,
Oh, yes, Zorro.
Hello, everybody. Hello to all the listeners and to both of the callers as well. Actually, I think that an important matter which we have not discussed up to this point is how many slices was the pizza cut into or the sandwich, Doctor?
Indeed. The
number of slices, if it makes you uncomfortable, it may be a trigger for this sort of event.
I personally believe that a pizza is optimally sliced when you have 8 slices. I know there are those who disagree, those who like 4, specifically those people who eat 2 8 slices.
Calling about the pizza monster vision.
Yes.
How many slices do you have? After the second box, the first slice is where it came from.
That's interesting. How many slices were there in total?
8 slices.
8. See, I think that perhaps this number, it is not aligned with your spirit in a sense. So perhaps if you can cut the most common number to be most agreeable with the most people is to take a pizza in 3 slices. Now, it is difficult to ingest such a pizza, I am aware, but it may resolve your problems.
Maybe if it was like a 3 slices, so there would not be 8 pieces, just the 3 pieces cut in a Greek way.
Perhaps if you took the circular pie and you cut it into square slices, maybe it is the crust that is bothering you, and in this respect you will have many pieces that do not have crusts. Of course, I do not know. I have had patients in my potionology practice in the past who have come in with similar visions from calzones, but this is a new field for me, so this is...
Maybe the crust is where it's like the earth, where the pizza monster of my vision emanated from.
Well, and I really appreciate the second caller's interpretation, the idea that simply we are over-consuming quite seriously, that obesity is becoming a very, very leading cause of death.
I think I understand this interpretation is that the monster is a demon of our personality, in a sense.
The toxic environment we find ourselves in. Perhaps we are over-consuming the pizza, and the pizza
is consuming us.
Consuming us.
Through the monster that
precisely.
It forms.
Yes. In fact, I heard a very disturbing a bit of information recently, which is that the children in America, this current young generation, is the first in history that has a lower life expectancy than their parents. And I think this overconsumption may be involved.
I think what we need is we need to have a sort of like a Pied Piper to play all the pizza monsters, food monsters off of this continent, out of the country, you know, to stop poisoning the kids. You can lead the pizza monsters away.
The Pied Piper leads away the pies. It makes quite a bit of sense.
I see. I could see that being led by the pizza boxes, all the delivery trucks, red bags.
I think we must remember that though the monster comes out of the pizzas in this instance, the monsters are really not the pizza. They are ourselves. We are the monsters. The pizza does not force itself upon us.
So you think that this is a manifestation of the inner personality, the problems which we may have with our own willpower or something like this?
Yes, indeed.
I think, caller, that if this is so, that perhaps you will know it. Caller, do you feel compulsed? Do you feel obsessed with the pizza? and that you are in need of eating it?
I do. I do almost feel like I'm taking revenge on the pizza for all the bad time. Maybe he's dating back to my childhood, birthday parties at roller skating rinks when I wasn't able to take to the skate during the slow song. The date. Maybe that's why I'm eating the pizza in solitude by myself.
Maybe
it upsets me spiritually, which will trigger these visions.
I was just going to say, caller, if you would like me to eat pizza and skate with you, I'd be more than happy to join in the sharing of pizza and skating with you.
I don't know if maybe that would help. Maybe do you think dining alone would be something to avoid in case of this happening again? Or do you think that the skating would affect the digestive and the hallucinations of such pizza monster?
In my experience, caller, I have noticed that sometimes the potions that help us most, the main ingredient is the soul of another. Companionship really is key.
Maybe.
Caller, I also wonder, are the pizzas that you are eating vegetarian?
Yes, I am. I'm a vegetarian.
This may also be an issue. Because, again, as Erno says, that there is an element of companionship, of touching another soul. And one way to accomplish this is by consuming the flesh of another soul.
And that is exactly what I meant, Doctor.
It takes us a lot...
Consuming a soul precisely. Would be companionship.
Precisely. Because it takes... there is a lot of vegetable material in a single soul, whereas...
But do not vegetables have souls too?
No, this is exactly as I'm saying, but to consume even a small fraction, the soul of a vegetable, in my belief, is very large, very watery, so it takes maybe an entire sack of cucumbers to approach the amount of soul material that would be in a small amount of meat flesh.
Yes, there is indeed lots of fiber involved, and that indeed takes up lots of room.
So this pizza, which has been plaguing you for some time, I'm wondering, did you consume this pizza alone, or is it only the memory of that which is bothersome?
Well, it's most pizzas since then have been alone. Like, I won't go out with friends for pizza because of these experiences, so I almost feel like eating a pizza alone is across the bear.
I think that perhaps it is worth it to bounce out of your shell, as they say, and attempt to have pizza with another person.
And, maybe caller who mentioned it before, maybe we will have pizza. I don't know if I can leave a mailing address to be put on hold with, but I would be interested to see more people.
Who knows what the future may hold? Perhaps at some point the whole of consciousness will be eating pizza together.
I certainly hope so.
Thank you. I would love to put this past me and no longer see a pizza monster
looking then,
back at me.
Then we can all share in a slice of the cosmic pie.
Yes, now you say it should not be a vegetarian so I can consume the soul and it would be new to me, bar newbie to me, inside a pizza box with animal.
I think that is precisely correct.
I think the more traditional method of consumption is to eat a pizza that indeed has no vegetable material at all. So a large circular slab of meat, just as an experiment, especially for someone who has never eaten meat. But it may be the sort of thing that one eases themselves into.
It certainly seems like some kind of commitment to me.
Maybe a Hawaiian pizza with no pineapple. Or pineapple is a fruit, so that wouldn't count as vegetable matter.
Well, I'm not sure.
Coffee beans.
It would be coffee. Like a Hawaiian pizza, but without the pineapples, tomatoes, cheese, and and crust, and instead just meat.
Just meat from like the pig from the luau.
The luau.
The island of Kona.
Yeah, it could really be any animal in any island in the Pacific, really.
Or even not in the Pacific.
Well, I mean, do we want a luau or not? I mean, I don't.
And I
know
think
luau is in the luau
that personally the island is this component necessary, or perhaps it may be a beach of some sort.
Maybe a beach at night on a shore.
And do we want the hotel to be all inclusive? That is something you should consider, caller, before you go off to an island.
Or before eating meat.
Or there is maybe a forest. It would be good location as well, I think.
Well, caller, just to clarify, you have never eaten meat at all?
I've eaten meat at a young age. And my parents, they brought vegetarian to me at a... and almost a toddler or adolescent. Young age.
In the youth of youths. And the result, of course, being that meat was not consumed. So as an adult, you have never eaten meat.
No, not as an adult, no.
And so now the plan, as I see it, is to go to this island and consume meat. Like starting a new life on the island.
A mental island.
Is it mental or is it physical?
And it may be a forest, I think, or the mountains.
So a change in scenery, which is optional, and may either be physical or emotional or both or neither.
Well, wherever the caller decides to take this vacation, I think it will work out for him.
And in what sense?
I think that it should be both physical and emotional at the same time. I think that the journey must take some deliberate action on your part, but both internally and externally.
Well, I could see it going really either way here. I think there are definitely advantages to actually moving, especially caller, and if I may, which city do you live in?
I live in South Boston.
See, now there are excellent reasons to stay, and even more.
There is an island. I mean, it's not an island with mountains and a forest to eat this meat pizza in, but there is available options if I don't want to go to the island of Kona, for instance, or any other island in the Pacific or North Pacific,
or Mykonos or Crete,
or emotional, yes. But if I like the forest idea, and to eat it moving, as in not stand and face the pizza monster, but almost walk towards it, meat pizza in hand,
and
no vegetables.
I think that the goal in the long run should be not that you walk to the pizza monster, but that you will walk with him, and that you will uncover in his identity, you will become friends and know what it is that has been plaguing you when you eat this pizza. So keep in mind that you must not just head in the direction of the pizza monster, but with open arms.
Okay. Emotionally open arms.
Yes, I think that whether or not your arms are raised or lowered is not physically the important piece, because ultimately it is yourself that you face, I believe.
Yes, it could be. The pizza monster is just a part of me held back by years of repression and not eating meat and not eating meat as an adult in a forest or an island in any capacity, or emotionally or spiritually.
Now, caller, I know that we keep calling and referring to the monster as a monster, but what is so menacing about the monster? Can we take a moment and stop screaming and just really ask the monster how it is and how it would like to be consumed?
Monster, how is it? How would you like to be consumed?
This is an interesting question. I think that it is worthwhile to examine this for all of us, to think into your mind, what way would I like to be consumed? Because we know that the nature will consume us eventually.
Yes, so it's like, could be the pizza monster seeks to consume me if I cannot consume him. Have you found this with any other foods or snacks where it makes you feel like you need to be consumed, or you need something to take that part of you away?
I felt this way many times about beef consommé.
Yeah, I once, you know, I was able
dessert
to consume
through this. I hear books.
A shark, and the shark, I realized that given the appropriate opportunity, we would consume one another.
I see.
Why don't we bring a second voice in? Caller 7, marhaban.
Yes, y'all talking about pizza monsters and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, here's the thing. Don't worry about all that vegetarian stuff. Don't worry about the meats and the non-meats. You just gotta worry about pizza. Have a pizza-only diet. That's the only way to get over your fear of the pizza monster. You know what I'm saying?
So are you advocating just plain cheese pizza?
Any kind of pizza will do, really. Especially, like, you see that commercial? Like, pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time.
Yeah.
If pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime. Like, that's what you should be watching. YouTube it or something. I'm sure it's on there.
When
I think it was like from the 90s or something. It was pizza on a bagel. You can like microwave and stuff.
Now, Collins,
and you can eat it anytime.
As a consumer of many non-pizza meals, I wonder just what the line is, because pizza, it is so flexible. I have seen pizzas, I have seen white pizza, I have seen pizza with the no crust, I have seen almost pasta pizza, and chocolate pizza, cookie pizza.
Dessert pizza.
Precisely, there is a wide range of pizza, and I wonder if perhaps a steak is simply a meat pizza with no cheese, sauce, or crust. Can
perhaps it has a crust in the matter.
Is an apple also a fruit pizza with no crust and no sauce?
Is a three-dimensional spherical fruit pizza?
Precisely. Is ping pong...
Three dimensions? You can get three dimensions out of a bagel pizza.
Is ping pong a game played on a table, which is also a pizza, but made out of wood? You know, it is a flexible concept. And so where is the line
I
drawn?
I think perhaps that a pizza should be consumed with some regularity by some individual somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And I do not have heard of the ping pong table to be eaten.
But, you know, if I were to design plastic which inflated into an edible construct in the shape of a pizza and with the same color, would we call it a pizza?
If it walks like a pizza and talks like a pizza, yes. I agree with you, doctor.
I think that is irrelevant, considering that it is not to be consumed. And so in this pursuit of diet, we may ignore this quack.
So indeed, all foods that do not fight, that are sliceable, are they pizzas? Technically.
Did was the pizza monster made out of bagel, or did it have like bagel hands or bagel eyes or something?
No, there was no bagel monster. It's just a pizza monster on a vegetarian pizza. I almost wonder if condensely, if this could be reversed and maybe a pizza could be baked with no sauce and no cheese, but just cream cheese on it and cut in half.
This would be very much like the bagel variety.
I think the distinction between the bagel and the pizza...
Forget about the cream cheese. You go on down to Christo's in Brockton. They got a good... It's like a Greek pizza, and they just make it with the normal stuff. It's great stuff, man.
But is it on a bagel?
No, they don't have the bagel pizza, but this is a different... I'm not only an advocate of the bagel pizza...
See, without the bagels, how can we have it at all times of the day? Is it that not a requirement?
You can go to Christo's for dinner and for lunch, but you can eat the bagel pizza in the morning.
Now, there is one possibility, I think, that we have not been considering, and that is that we have had many pizzas in mind, but perhaps what we should have to fight the pizza monster is not that we consume only pizza, but that we do not worry about the consummation of the pizza, that we do not worry about whether or not it is going to be eaten, and that we simply choose irrespective of this monster.
Okay, so just...
I hear you.
So it is a bit of a relaxed perspective, I think, to have this.
Caller, and caller with the monster, what is the role of pizza in your life? Does it serve any other meaning beyond a consumable item?
Well, I mean, sometimes I will make a pizza. Mm. I will build it with vegetables and things I've gathered from stores and checkout lanes.
Mm.
And so it becomes a calming thing. Like I say, I eat it.
So you
alone.
Yourself build the pizza.
Mm.
It is because I think traditionally.
Y'all ever throw the red pepper on it?
I don't understand.
Well, no, the traditional view, and I'm a student of the American culture, is the pizza is brought from outside of the home into the home by a delivery person. But you are telling me that you yourself are a builder of pizzas.
Mm, yes.
Is this a professional thing?
Are you like constructing walls out of pizza or something?
Maybe I'm building up walls around me to keep the pizza monster out, but I'm just locking him in with me.
I think perhaps a good remedy to this...
That's big stuff, man.
I think one thing maybe you may do is that you get a friend for you to order a pizza which he prefers, that you have no choice of the topping. And that you go to the friend's home, or perhaps you go out, but you do not eat alone, you do not eat in your home, and you do not build the pizza. You simply experience it.
Just sharing in its company?
You may consume, I think, perhaps, to fight the fear, but yes, the essence is that you give up your control more deliberately.
Okay, so build up. Maybe I'll
take you down to Christo's if you want.
Mm. Mm.
Y'all
want to
go to Christo?
Christo?
Brock, I fear Brockton. I fear Christo's in a way.
Is there also a Brockton monster with the pizza monster?
Brockton, yes.
No, again, I think let's return to the earlier issue, Colin.
Why would we be afraid of Procton, then?
Where is the menace? Is it only in the appearance of the monster? Or is it the behavior which is menacing?
Yeah, it feels like it's not in just the appearance. Maybe the appearance had summarized it all in my head, but I think just the threat of...
There is a menacing
being
energy.
Left alone on roller skates without friends to hold hands.
The pizza monster is not pursuing you directly, but it is haunting you.
It is almost as if it is haunting me, and it has big, oversized pizza monster feet-sized roller skates on it, subconsciously and spiritually chasing me around the length of the rink to Jefferson's starship.
Let's bring a new voice in to join. Again, the number, if anyone would like to call, is 617-253-8810.
Well, thank you, callers, for receiving my transmission. I look forward to trying the meat pizza.
Hello?
Welcome, caller. Please, the radio.
Yes.
Turn down
yes.
the radio.
I would like to go back to the subject of,
caller, please turn down your radio.
Yes.
Thank you, caller.
Well, I would like to go back to the food that you were talking about that creates the vision of the monster. Well,
yes, I think it was can I remember? It was a pasta. No, the pizza. Sorry.
Huh?
It was a pizza.
Yes. But for me, the thing that I have visions recently of a monster when I eat the food is, for some reason, pretzels. And not the pretzels you see, it's the straight pretzels. I have a vision of like a
stick
person made of the pretzel.
That is quite frightening, I think.
Yes, it is.
So
now, is this the soft pretzel or the hard pretzel
it is the hard pretzel that you can usually buy at the supermarket.
Please share the vision with us if you don't mind.
Well, it basically I'll be eating the pretzel and all of a sudden it's a straight pretzel, so a stick figure made out of pretzels will come up and just start. It's very frightening.
That's okay. If you prefer not to share the details, if it is too much of a stress, then do not stress yourself.
Yes.
Perhaps maybe if we try to describe the monster and you can just say, yes, you are correct, or no, you are wrong.
Yes,
right now, I am visualizing a creature whose arms are pretzel sticks, whose body, whose torso is essentially a classical pretzel.
Yes.
And
yes.
Whose head is perhaps one of those checkerboard pretzels. I don't know what you call them. Perhaps one of the circular pretzels would make more sense.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, perhaps you may answer to me this question. Is it... This pretzel man, is he with salt? Is he a salted pretzel?
Yes, he is salted.
He's assaulted you?
Let us bring another voice in to analyze the pretzel. Caller, marhaban. Caller.
Yes.
No, we should have a new caller? Is there a new caller
Hello?
Also? Welcome, caller.
Welcome, everyone. Is the conversation, are we still talking on the pizza monster, or have we moved on?
There is a new caller who is being plagued by a pretzel.
The pretzel monster of her vision, which as we can analyze so far, is constructed of hard pretzel salted and assembled in the ordinary twisted configuration. This salted pretzel proceeds to attack the caller in her visions.
Oh, no.
I'm not certain that there was an attack. We did not probe. Is there an attack or merely the threat, caller?
Yes, there is an attack.
So the threat of violence is accompanied by the actual violence. It is a violent pretzel monster.
Yes.
And are other twisted consumables involved, such as licorice?
Yes, I definitely agree on you with that.
So, is there some sort of a weapon which is used against you? Please, do not answer if it will bother you to say so.
A weapon that the pretzel monster has?
Yes, something like that.
Yes, there actually is. There is. It is not made out of pretzels, but instead it is a rolled up piece of ham.
Oh, this is interesting, because the ham, again, is the meat, and we have had some conversation about the meat and the role of the companionship of the meat.
Yes.
And the meat, is it used as a puncturing weapon, like a spear?
Or perhaps the bludgeoning.
A blunt weapon.
Yes, a bludgeoning weapon, yes.
And the pretzel monster proceeds to beat you with the ham.
No, not necessarily beat me. You could say that.
Mm.
It is also used as a puncture weapon. Again, you could say.
Mm.
It is more like a spear or...
A spear.
With a club configuration.
Like a pickle spear?
Yes, you could say that, yes.
So it's a pretzel monster that uses a pickle spear.
It's like a pickle spear wrapped in ham.
Now,
I don't have any first-hand knowledge with pretzel monsters with pickles as weapons, but sometimes when I do fall asleep, I dream up of other monsters, threatening monsters. But then I realize that you can become friends with your monsters. That most of the time, the things that we perceive as monsters aren't actually monsters.
Mm.
They're just monsters disguised, but they're just actually friends disguised as monsters.
Yes.
Are you sure this is not a friend of yours, caller, that is dressed up like pretzels?
I do not know. It's very hard to tell.
So, is there a frequency of this? Is it happening regularly, or is it quite rare?
It has happened regularly.
That is something I am sorry to hear.
Yes.
Perhaps the pretzel monster is just waiting for mustard.
Maybe, but it's more annoying than it is scary.
So it is not terrifying, but simply obnoxious.
Yes, very obnoxious.
I suppose it fits. I am not sure how the ham would be too dangerous.
When you were a child, did you enjoy sitting Indian style?
Did I enjoy what?
Sitting Indian style with your legs crossed. Perhaps that is the root of a pretzel
monster.
Yes, I
did.
Oh, I can see the connection, I think, between the shape.
Yes, the shape of your legs is much like the shape of the pretzel.
But if I remember, the pretzel monster, which we have been describing, is from the stick pretzel.
Yes, it is.
So perhaps the connection to the legs is not quite true.
Precisely,
no.
Because the softer, warmer, soft pretzel, also larger, is at the same time more menacing and more likely to be covered in mustard or other sauces.
Yeah.
I think that further increases the menace.
I've seen them with cinnamon as well.
Absolutely repulsive.
I have a confession to make.
Yes.
Which is that I am sometimes plagued by my own food demon, which you may consider quite similar, I think. It is a fillet, it is a steak wrapped in bacon. And I find this dish quite delicious, but there are times when I can see it pursuing me. But fortunately, they only come very infrequently.
In my own experience, this is for Zorro and the callers, I have noticed that previously when I have been plagued by food-based demons, I find it best to stop running, to turn around, and then to... welcome that food into her life?
Well, perhaps I am not too worried. Like I said, this demon is quite rare for me.
Yes, I have friends who have told me that I should run from the demon and I should stop consuming the food it represents.
Really?
But but I do not agree with them, for the demon will just keep chasing you.
I do agree with what you just said.
Perhaps I remember a while back, you guys were having a discussion about metaphysically slaughtering a goat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, perhaps if we metaphysically slaughter our food monsters, that could alleviate the victimization of the other caller by her pretzel monster with the pickle spear.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes.
I think that in this instance, the whole point of the slaughter and the food is the same. So, in a way, to consume the object is to slaughter it.
I disagree. The last time we had a metaphysical slaughter in this studio, the smell
I
just...
I remember it had the head of an eggplant and it was also an alpaca.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes. It was a while back, and that was my close friend who was calling.
Absolutely. I think that it recalls to my mind a vision of my youth also, where, and I say vision, but of course it has actually happened. I was chasing a wild dog in the desert.
Really?
After a few moments, I was about a mile away from my home. The dog, we ran into a hill almost, a small opening. And the dog forgot I was chasing it. It turned around and began to chase me. I realized I had no plan for when I actually caught the dog. And in fact, I was terrified of the dog. And ran home. It chased me home.
Very, very terrifying.
There is a symmetry there.
And if I may ask for a detail, it may not be important, but at what age approximately did this happen?
What day did this happen?
6 or 7 summers, I think.
The dog was 6 or 7 summers old?
I'm not sure. The dog, as I say, was a dirty wild animal. And
really?
Mm.
This is a very frightening experience.
Well, absolutely, but it is really no different than being chased by a large, delicious demon.
Yes, I agree.
Perhaps we can metaphysically slaughter that dog.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
What kind of dog was chasing you?
I'm not sure. I could not identify it. It may indeed have been a jackal.
What is it, a large dog?
Yes, this is
large
my question
dog?
As well. Is it a very small one or is it very large?
It was not extremely large. I would say it was a medium dog. It was not one of these dogs that I see fashionably carried in purses.
And
so he was running on his own, and it was not the owner chasing you.
There was no owner
with the dog in the bag.
It was a wild dog.
Was the dog temperature-wise? Do you think how was the dog?
It was a warm. I would say warm to hot. The dog.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Perhaps the dog perceived you as a pretzel.
It may indeed be. I have often wondered, and now that you say that, caller, I wonder if all of these visions that we had are similar visions that we are simply possessing such a dog. Briefly.
Yes.
Being chased by a large, delicious, young transdermal mediator.
I think that the ear is definitely a sign of the connection between all of humankind. So many people and our visions, they are not too different. They are more like facets of one object.
I see.
Sometimes I often wonder what my dog is thinking, so often I will
go up to his head, yes, put my ear against his head so I can hear his thoughts, yes, enter my brain.
That is quite interesting. What is the result of this?
The result, well, I think, I hear him thinking a lot. He's thinking about running. He's thinking about playing, stretching, playing with me. There's lots and lots of peanut butter coming up.
Let's go ahead and very briefly bring in a new caller. We've had several callers waiting a while, so let's try it out.
Oh, well, let me get off the line, and thank you very much.
Thank you, caller. Yeah. Thank you for joining. Caller 9, marhaban.
Yes, this is Dr. Carl Everett Somerville here. I have a few points to bring up regarding this monster business. First of all, I think there's a mischaracterization going on here. First of all, the monster is a person out of place. The monster is a man, a being, perhaps, if you will, who has stumbled into a scene, probably if it's not of his own doing, that is not ideal for him, just like many of us do as well. We are often the monster in many situations in our lives.
So I think perhaps you are implicating that the pizza is not the one to blame for being in the box.
Look, the pizza was being in the box. Where else is the pizza going to be? Pizza's not going to be anywhere else. It's a box. It's for a pizza. So there's a pizza in the box. So
yes,
the pizza is not a monster because it's in a box. It's just doing what it was here for it to be doing.
Mm-hmm. So there is no actual possession by an evil spirit. There is no wickedness on the part of the pizza. It is simply nature taking its course.
Well, I would say that perhaps there is a spirit possessing the pizza, but who are we to call it evil? Because that's what it was doing. It was its job.
Well, you know, there is a very pragmatic answer to this, which is that it is inconvenient, therefore it is evil.
Well, you know what? That would be calling the pizza, mm-hmm, and the monster in general is like the weed, for example, the weed of being. What is a weed but a plant in the wrong place?
An uncooperative plant.
Well, it is cooperating with its own situation, but not with us.
But not with me.
Correct.
Why don't we bring yet another caller on the line? Stay with us, caller.
Yes, certainly.
Caller 10, marhaban. Caller 10.
Y'all talking about pretzel monsters or something?
We did indeed touch on the pretzel monster.
But I think that it is somewhat of a metaphor. I mean, there is not literally a pretzel, but it is a vision and something of a feeling which comes over one person.
Yeah, I'm not sure anyone has claimed to actually have encountered such a monster.
We are talking about obsession or lack of control and willpower and how they can manifest.
And this backlash of guilt, something like that, for the pizza.
Yes, that is the attack of the...
A Celtic solstice.
Yes.
I don't know nothing about that, but I don't know.
Well, caller, tell us, tell us about your visions.
Well, I don't know what they're saying about the metaphysical slaughter of things, but... I don't know, I like Roll Gold pretzels, and the Snyder's ones are pretty good. And I got some, like just the grocery store ones, I got those with me.
So and you are in harmony with your pretzels?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I ate most of the bag, so I guess that's that. I'm in harmony with the pretzels.
That's quite pleasing to me. I'm glad to hear.
Yeah. You know, it has been said, of course, that the pretzel shape with the crossed, the loop comes around, the two parts which are crossed, to symbolize praying hands, which would be perhaps to implicate some sort of desperation on behalf of the pretzel maker or perhaps the pretzel consumer. And maybe this is at the heart of the problem we're talking about here.
And to me, it seems much more like folded arms, the declaration of independence on the part of the pretzel.
Yes, I think
defiance,
it's
power,
obstinance.
Strength.
You don't have to fold your arms to eat the pretzel.
No, but I think that the pretzel is folding his arms to have been eaten.
It recalls to my
pretzels
mind...
Pretzels don't have arms?
the lengthy story.
Well, it's very symbolic. It's the nature of it.
Symbolic, all right.
Yes, his arms are like the arms of the praying. We think that maybe it is not a prayer, but a standoff.
Why would the pretzel's symbolic arms be salted, though?
They do not taste good otherwise.
Well, and
I don't even like them without salt.
Also, his own arms. Why would they need the arms to taste good?
Salt also indicates value or characteristics which are earthly. In many cultures, the idea of the expression in English, salt of the earth, indicating common, important value.
Yes, but doctor, if I may, there's also salt in the wound. And this is another aspect as well.
Absolutely.
Of self-flagellation that is involved as well.
Mm-hmm.
What does the mustard symbolize?
The mustard on the pretzel?
Yeah, that's pretty common.
Interesting question. It is worth exploring in some detail, but it depends heavily upon if the mustard is spicy or if it is more yellow.
I'm afraid that this mustard will have to be our last condiment for the evening.
I like the spicy mustard, yeah.
Yellow, of course, symbolizes defeat in many cultures, and that's part of this as well. We must consider this fact. We don't know the origin of the yellow, but...
I see, and this association with cowardice and the like.
It is very possible that the yellow came into being for that reason. Without further research, of course, this is just purely speculation, but I think it's obvious that this has a connection.
No, I agree. I think that the yellow is something. Perhaps the mustard is the weakness of the pretzel, and that is why we consume together.
In many cultures, and again, we're returning to this idea of Semiticism, the mustard symbolizes the smallest thing which is recognized by the deity. Including the mustard.
The mustard seed,
precisely.
Why would you put mustard on your arms and stuff?
Well, unfortunately, callers, and I hate to end the discussion at such a productive moment, but the time, like all things, is coming to an end.
Well, good evening, gentlemen, and thank you very much for your productive conversation this evening.
And thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you both callers. Ma'asalama. And ma'asalama to Erno.
Yes, doctor. Thank you for having me once again.
Thank you for being with us, and also to Zorro.
Thank you, doctor. Thank you to all the listeners out there, and I'm sorry, very sorry to all the callers which we did not get you tonight.
I'm Editor Janis Sakran here on Music for Human. Music for Human is New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you. We are here every Friday at 7 p.m. on WMBR Cambridge 88.1. Ma'asalama.
For safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
Is jazz as a changing form dead? Or does it continue to be a dynamic and evolving music as it moves through the 21st century? I'm Fred Allen, and on Sound Principles, you'll hear avant-garde jazz, free jazz, and creative improvised music that will answer these questions and more. That's Sound Principles every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 88.1 FM, WMBR, Cambridge.
The views and opinions presented on this program do not necessarily